Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. This past Tuesday, with a cup of coffee, I was studying and praying over the scripture readings for today, and finished that time asking God to guide me with today's sermon. Then I went into the kitchen and opened the Daily Breeze to see the weather report. Was it going to be cold and rainy, or just cold, or just rainy? And so I opened the back of the Daily Breeze, turned to where it normally has the weather report, but my eye caught Dear Abby. I don't normally read Dear Abby. But today is the feast day of the baptism of Jesus. So when I read the title of the Abby letter, Secret Baby Baptism is All Wet, I decided to read. Dear Abby, my niece has a one-year-old son. Neither my niece nor the baby's father is religious, and they have chosen not to have the baby baptized. My sister, the baby's grandmother, while not wanting to impose her beliefs on the parents, comes from a generation when even couples who were not religious usually had their baby baptized. I know it would comfort my sister to know this ancient ceremony had been performed. Since my sister watches the little boy at her house, would it be wrong for us to organize an informal baptism, just holy water and a couple of prayers? We don't feel we need to have an officiant of any religious persuasion. And of course, we would not tell the baby's parents. Would this be appropriate? Signed, Mortified in Montana. Abby responds, Dear Mortified, no, it would not. If you were not sure that it would be, you would not have written to me about it. My advice is not to do anything like this behind the parents' backs, because if you do, there will be hell to pay. Consider this. Not all denominations baptize their members as infants. I don't normally read Abby, but after I did, I went, high five, Jesus, thank you for the opening of my sermon. Baptism is not a private affair. It is exactly the opposite. Baptism is about a public moment when you are brought into the family of God. In that public moment, when water is poured in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, in that moment, there's a celebration of becoming a child of God. That moment is not magical. Baptism is not about superstition. At the heart of baptism is our identity. Our identity. We really are the son or daughter of God. That God loves us so much. We are called to be one family, to share God's love, to receive God's love, to give God's love. In the gospel we just heard, Jesus heard, we heard, his identity. 2 weeks ago at Christmas, we heard the first explanation of who this person was, his identity as Messiah. 2 days ago was the Feast of the Epiphany, and we hear the identity of Jesus as a light to all the world. And today at the baptism of Jesus, the heavens part. And that's not an accident. A new relationship has begun. Jesus is declared, his identity given. Jesus is the Son of God. In that moment of identity, just like Jesus, when we are baptized, we receive the power to live out that identity, to live in ministry, the mission of God's love on earth. But do we really appreciate that that is really our identity? About 20 years ago when I was married, I was in Europe, we were in England. We had gone to the Globe Theater. We had stood in the stand-up section, not where the seats are. During the intermission, I went to the bathroom. I was wearing a fanny pack. I looked down and said, well, that's strange. The zipper of the fanny pack is open, and so I just zipped it shut, went back, watched the rest of the Shakespeare performance. We walked over to Covent Gardens. I went to my favorite place, the Reject China Shop, got a few things, put them on the counter, unzipped my fanny pack, and the pouch with my driver's license, my credit card, was gone. My husband was not in the store at that time. In that moment, I realized I have no identity. I can't prove my name. I can't prove who I am. My identity is gone. So I thought. So I left what I wanted to buy, went outside, sat down on a bench, and just sat there. And there was a moment when I felt a grace, a sense of God's presence. I love and know you more than you know or love yourself. That is your identity. Your identity is a daughter, my creation. It was a very powerful rooting moment of realizing my identity is in God. Identity theft does not take that away from me. How do we live that out? Because through baptism, we are called to live it out in such a way that we become light and love for others. So they believe that they are loved by God and have that as their identity. Jean Vanier was a man in France who felt called to help people experience that love of God through something called LARCH communities. He would gather 6 mentally challenged adults who could not live alone and gather 6 who would become their partner, their support person, and they would form community. They would become one family. And this is what Jean Vanier speaks of. To love someone is not, first of all, to do things for them, but to reveal to them their beauty their value, to say to them through your attitude, you are beautiful, you are important, I trust you, you can trust yourself. We all know well that we can do things for others, and in the process, crush them, making them feel incapable of doing things themselves. To love someone is to reveal to them their capacities for life, the light that is shining in them. Light and love, that kind of identity, is actually a verb. To live the light and love of God is meant to be a verb, but it comes out of, that is what you have received. And nothing and no one can take that from you. Not any illness, not dementia, not Alzheimer's, not depression, not isolation, not being imprisoned in the county jail. Nothing can take you away from the love of God that is the deepest ground of your being. For in God you really do live, move, have your being, and cry like little Jonah, who will be baptized into God's family very soon. You want to be baptized, don't you? This sense of identity we do take for granted often. Yesterday at a memorial, one of the speakers remembering his aunt, who was 93 when she died, was talking about his aunt and said for most of his adult life, he had chosen to be an agnostic. He said it loudly and boldly. That was it for him. His identity was an agnostic. One night many years ago, he couldn't sleep. He wasn't upset. He wasn't depressed. He did not have indigestion. He just couldn't sleep. So he gets up. And he has this sense that he's meant to leave the house and go to the church down the street, even though it's 2:00 in the morning. He changes into his clothes, goes down the street, stands in front of the church, turns around, and he said he couldn't help himself. He just received God. He received God. I believe, he said, and received the love and light of God. And he has not been the same since. And said to everyone, I am a born-again Christian. Today we're going to renew our baptismal vows. May you not take them for granted. If you have wood in a fireplace and you light it, that's not it. You have to keep fanning the flame, and it keeps growing and comes alive. And that is how God's love grows. You fan it, and it comes alive. Through prayer and through action, through the head and through the heart. So I invite you today to embrace your baptism. You are a child of God, and no one can take that love from you. May you breathe in God's name and exhale love.